Sean, we've heard over the last, couple of days at Garma about this exciting new Empowered Communities concept. What is it going to mean for your community, and what are the innovative things that you're going to be sharing with the other communities?
What it means for our communities, I guess, is to change the current way in which funding and accountability is delivered into communities. What we're proposing is to try and, shift some of the responsibility and accountability away from government and put that back into the control of Aboriginal communities. Attempt to break down some of the silos that exist in regards to funding and dealing with government departments, but also attempt to break those silos that exist within communities and dealing with the health sector, education sector, housing sector, and so on. So it's really trying to create one pipeline into community, one pipeline out of the community, which is clearly focused on addressing the issues of closing the gap.
So is there anything in particular that you'll be, sharing with the other communities that, every one of the communities has done something really well. If I think of Shepparton, I think of Rumble or a footy club. Is there an outstanding example for you in Northern New South Wales? I mean, the land rights in New South Wales is obviously something that you'd be very proud of.
I guess some of the things that we have that other communities are quite interested in, we have our own funeral fund that support our members. We've developed our ownership models based on the Land Rights Act, the system that we have of freehold land. But we're very strong in economic development. Our strength, I believe, amongst the eight regions is our economic development position. We currently manage a very large cash asset of about $30 million, 100% managed by the Aboriginal community, our members, our board, and myself as the CEO. That's a strong position for any community to be in, to be able to manage a large cash asset, but also be the largest private landowner within our region, and to look at how that land supports and sustains our community.
I mean, that must be, that is the great thing about the New South Wales Land Rights Act and the land, history. And I guess for someone like Paul Briggs, he'd be looking at that and going, wow, that's, exactly what we need. Is there any kind of plans to, to use the assets to support other regions that, perhaps have, a good investment that you would support, or... Is that the kind of thing that we'll be also seeing? I mean, that is really getting innovative, isn't it? When you start to think of a series of Aboriginal regions that are totally self-sufficient, supporting each other to do things, and where one has a lack, the other has some sort of asset. Is that what you have in mind?
The key to what we're going to what we'll establish in the long run is this cross-country collaboration. Looking at what works in one community, being able to see whether we can transfer that or duplicate that in other communities. I look at each of those regions and the success that they're having. Ian Trust in the East Kimberley with Living Change and transitional housing. That's a very simple concept, but it's a concept that empowers people to be able to take responsibility for their own lives. We look at I look at the Cape and I look at what Noel's doing, with their education programs, their enterprises and the way in which they're supporting communities. There are a whole range of innovative things happening, and unfortunately, past processes that they're happening in isolation, and the success stories aren't being shared. So first and foremost, this will allow us to share the success stories. Two, it'll allow us to look at what's working and see whether we can transfer that or duplicate that in other areas. And three, it'll allow a group of like-minded people to look at how they can work together to address issues of policy that's not effective within our communities. To address issues where legislation isn't working to allow our communities to move forward, and those type of things, you know, the Northern Territory native title and their land rights system. You know, if it's not effective, that it can actually unlock land for these communities to build an economic base or to provide home housing and home ownership, then it's something that really needs to change. And by having the strength of the eight regions and the people who are, you know, the people who are heading up those regions, you know, you're going to government with you know, 100 years worth of knowledge and experience, and people with credibility, integrity, and accountability that have had major success in their own right.
Yeah, is there any plans to extend the regions, to go to other regions and leaders?
There is, and the key thing to the process and the model that we've proposed, that the concept is about communities opting in.
Mm.
When you opt into the empowered communities model, you're opting to accept a set of values and principles to change your communities. Those principles are fairly strong, and they're aligned to the Close the Gap targets.
Mm.
You know, it's about getting your kids to school. It's about making sure that they're protected. It's about making sure that you're participating in the workforce. It's addressing drug and alcohol issues within your communities.
Mm.
It's tackling domestic violence issues within your communities. So, you know, to choose to opt in, you're choosing to opt into principles and values that we as a region, as eight regions, seek to uphold and stick to.
It sounds very good. One last question. Freehold land is something that New South Wales Aboriginal organisations deal with all the time, presumably a portfolio of freehold assets. Have you done much work in that area that will translate to other up-and-coming regions like Cape York or East Kimberley and you know, areas like Shepparton, where, I mean, you're effectively, as I understand your organisations up north, you're actually very, you're in a quite a sophisticated process of managing land assets and, you know, rented properties and things like that.
We've got the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Rights Act is a great piece of legislation, and the biggest challenge with it at the moment is it's very compliant driven.
Yeah.
So the regulatory framework that land councils have to work in is quite challenging. Land councils are asset rich, and cash resources are very low in 95% of our land councils. Only a handful of land councils have been able to take advantage of the opportunity of having freehold land. The reasons behind that, I still believe that the many land councils and to some extent the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Councils are stuck in a rights-based movement. They've not shifted to an economic development movement to empower and enable communities to utilise those assets to be able to provide for their communities. My philosophy is simple. You can't have the poverty and the disadvantage and the dysfunction existing in your community whilst you have some of the largest land assets within your local government areas. You know, those assets have to convert to providing benefits that address the dysfunction and disadvantage.
So, Sean, the agenda for the next 12 months?
The agenda for the next 12 months is, you know, we come to GAMA really to focus on signing the partnership between each of those eight regions. That was our number one objective. To get a commitment out of Minister Macklin was absolutely a plus. The aim now is to get bipartisan support on what we're proposing. So for us, over the next 4 weeks, you know, we will continue to work with the opposition to have them come in and support the phase two of what we're developing.
But I mean, there must be a very good prospect of getting bipartisan support on this.
We hope so. You know, I listened to the opposition leader speak yesterday, and he announced the appointment of Warren Mundine into a council of some sort. I listened to Warren speak last night, and he spoke about a lot of the issues and problems that exist in community. I believe that we put up a strong solution to address those issues. Warren spoke about the problems. We believe the only way to address the problems is to come back with a solution that empowers communities and shifts responsibility away from government and put the emphasis clearly back on the people that that can make things happen within community.
Fantastic, Sean. Well, good luck with it all.
No, thanks very much. Thanks, Wayne.
That's a beauty, man. Actually, I'm really